Our first scripture lesson today is from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 27 through 34. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of humans and the seed of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Before hearing our scripture reading, let me just add one little note to Kathy's announcement. If there was ever a time when it's okay to leave during the sermon, it's to go get your pledge form. Okay. Our next scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'm reading from the 18th chapter of Luke, the first eight verses. We've already heard some commentary on this reading this morning from Jeff Davis with our younger members. So let us listen to this story from the Gospel of Luke. A familiar story, but let us listen with new ears for God's word to us. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. And in that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to God's chosen ones who cry to God day and night? Will God delay long in helping them? I tell you, God will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it soon, you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, Then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing. I won't make you listen to all the verses of that song. From Pulitzer Prize poet Bob Dylan, the times, they are a-changing. One thing true about poetry, good poetry, is that it's always true. Regardless of the time it's written, it speaks truth to all of us. And that's one of the reasons Bob Dylan was recognized as a poet for all people, is because so many of his words speak to so many different people in different times, in different places. And this particular song about change has eternal truth to it. Times, they are a-changing. They're always a-changing. It's the nature of our existence. It's the evolutionary process of time. Times, they are a-changing. And in many ways, that's what our scripture readings this morning are about, both the reading from Jeremiah and from Luke. They are about changing times. In Jeremiah, there's this particular phrase that at the beginning of that reading that says, parents who eat sour grapes will cause their children's teeth to be on edge. Now, what that really means is, physically, is sort of similar to, well, the best thing I know to compare it to is eating a persimmon. Have you ever eaten a green persimmon right off a tree? It just puckers up your mouth and your teeth kind of go numb. Well, that's what this is taught. This is one of those proverbs that basically says what parents do has effect on children. What one generation does affects the next generation. One way the scriptures puts it is the sins of the fathers and mothers are visited on the sins of the next generations. And it is true that our past informs and forms our present. All of us are basically the accumulation of all the experiences that we've had in our lives. And we experience this on so many different levels. And the times that we live in, the times that we live in that are changing, are times that are some of our own doing, but much that is not of our own doing. Whatever time we live in, our particular time has been given to us by people who came before us, our parents, our grandparents. And so every generation inherits what this scripture calls sour grapes. We also inherit the ripe grapes as well. But the dynamic is the past informs and forms our present. And when we look around the world today, when we see what is so obvious, that we live in a time of radical change and transformation. We see it globally. Globally, geologically, environmentally, the earth is changing, the environment is changing. And we're going through such rapid change these days that we can literally see it. The earth, our environment, it has always been changing, but the rate of that change has escalated. And much having to do with the way we live, the way we have misused the resources of the earth, have caused much of this rapid change. And in many, many ways, we have done this. And so many of those ways we see as progress, and we have benefited from many of those things. But it causes change. Our actions do. But we also inherited the systems that we live in, the global systems. And we are discovering that we are a global community. Our national boundaries, our religious boundaries, our cultural boundaries are extremely artificial. This came home to us as humanity 50 years ago when we finally got outside of Earth's atmosphere far enough to look back at the Earth and see the Earth as a contained environment. We're all in this together. And being a part of the change globally is extremely important. We have change that's going on nationally. The demographics of our country have changed dramatically in the last 50 years. As people migrate from rural to urban, from urban to rural, from center country to coastal country, as we have different peoples immigrating into our country. The way this country has always grown is through immigration. We have always grown through immigration and the advancements that immigration brings. Those are the changing dynamics that we see nationally, which become part of the global changes. We have changed locally. Locally in this community. Those of you who have lived in this community for a long time can look around and see the changes. We can see both good and bad changes. We can see things that we like. We can see things that we dislike. But the change has come. Some we just have to accept because it is handed to us. Some of it we are involved in. We see change congregationally. In our congregation, we look around and it's not the same congregation it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. There is change. There is movement. And as Bob Dylan says, the times, they are a-changing. And if you don't change with the times, then you get left behind. And this is true on every level of our existence, whether it be globally, nationally, locally, in our congregation, and personally as well. To resist change is to resist the natural evolutionary process of living. And And this passage in Jeremiah starts out with, surely the days will come when. That's nearly the Old Testament equivalent of the times they are a-changing. Surely the days will come when. And what's amazing about the when of this passage is that no longer will the sour grapes of the parents cause the children's teeth to go on edge. The children will be responsible for their own teeth. Because it goes on to say, no longer shall they say the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge, but all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. There is a place where we are responsible for our own time, for our own place. And we have to let go of the past. We are still products of our past. But there comes a time when the present informs and forms the future. I want to say this little progression again. The past informs and forms the present. But the present informs and forms the future. Whatever kind of grapes we're eating today will determine what kind of teeth our children have, to use the proverb. So it's very important for us to be very aware of how we are living in these times of change. There's a line from the musical Music Man that I've always appreciated. It's when the librarian, Marion Peru, and the con man, Harold Hill, are contemplating their relationship, and Harold's coming on a little bit strong with Marion, and she says, no, not tonight, maybe tomorrow. And Harold says, my dear, you pile up enough tomorrows and you'll find you are left with nothing but a lot of empty yesterdays. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to make today worth remembering. It's very important what we do today. Because it is taking what we have from the past and moving into the future. In the midst of massive change on so many different levels in our lives. And that brings us around to the judge and the widow. This parable of the judge and the widow is about persistence. Now, it's about the widow's persistence. She is persistent indeed. But the parable is predominantly about the persistence of God. The parable tells us, it contrasts God with the judge. The judge has to be nagged. The judge you have to go to the judge over and over and over again. That's not God. Jesus tells us, no, this is not the way God is. God is eager to respond in love. God's grace is persistent. It's always with us. And that's how we enter and stay in, and that's how we persist in our relationship with God. We are persistent in knowing that God is always persistent. We don't have to nag God for anything, because we already live in God's grace. And in the midst of change and times of change, sometimes it may seem like we are not. Sometimes we may feel like that widow. Sometimes we may feel like things are just not going the way we think they ought to go. And maybe that's the problem. Because in the long run, we live in God's grace. We live in changing times. It's the nature of our existence. And for us to accept that grace is to be able to look around and see where we can be instruments of that grace, instruments of God's love, instruments of justice in the world, instruments of healing and hope and peace for the peoples in the world who are so desperately in need of those things. And I think this is a great message for us to hear on Commitment Sunday. Because commitment is about persistence. Commitment is about living in God's grace, living in God's generosity, and freely sharing that grace and that generosity with all. And so we come today on Commitment Sunday to accept the grace of God, to live in God's grace, rather than to think we are always hounding God for more grace. Amen. Before hearing our charge, I do want to remind you that today is our third Sunday lunch. Please join us for lunch through the double doors here. There is a crew in there right now preparing it and waiting for you, eagerly waiting for you to come eat what they have prepared. The other thing is, I noticed there's something here in the bulletin that we have not mentioned yet. Today, we recognize the 5th anniversary of Jeff Davis here in Trinity. Jeff, we appreciate all you do for our congregation. Even right now, he's behind that iPad filling in for the Facebook broadcast. Jeff, you offer so much to us, and we appreciate your energy, we appreciate your enthusiasm, and we appreciate your persistence. Thanks for being among us. That Jeremiah passage talks about a new covenant. I want to offer you a new covenant, the passage says to Jeremiah. And this covenant that Jeremiah is offering says, in this new covenant, the law will be written on your heart, and you will know God. You won't have to go around saying that we need to know God or know God. We already know God. It's written on our heart. It's in our DNA. This is the message of that new covenant. We don't have to strive and strive and strive. We just need to accept who we really are. We are the presence of Christ in the world. We are the Spirit of God in the world, written on our hearts. And our challenge is to live that. Go out of this place and begin to live as if you are the presence of Christ, and the person you're talking to is also the presence of Christ. I think if you really do that, the conversation will change. And that's where we need to persist. Amen.